Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. You need to be perfect to enter God's kingdom. If that sounds a bit familiar to you, it's because that is the sermon theme that you read as you sat down here this morning. And it's also the same sermon theme that we had last week. No, you're not going to hear the exact same thing. I'm not that lazy. But you are going to hear something similar. You remember last week we started taking a look at what Jesus was talking about as he keyed off on that verse when he was reminding his disciples who were sitting there on that mountainside and all the rest of them who were listening along with them that their righteousness needed to surpass that of the Pharisees and the experts of the law. And so last week we had an opportunity to listen to Jesus go back and forth as he said, now you have heard that it was said, and he talked about the fifth commandment, and he talked about the sixth commandment, and he talked about the second commandment, and reminded us that the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had basically simply been an external, superficial going through the motions. But I tell you, Jesus had said, that we're talking about more than just looking good on the outside. That we're talking about more than just sort of an external keeping of the law that kind of fools everybody and doesn't let them see what's actually going on the inside. That it isn't just the action. It's also the attitude and the desires that count as the righteousness God is looking for. Today's gospel lesson just picks right up where Jesus left off. You're finding that same passage, that same series, as he says, you have heard that it was said. He backs up a little bit, talks in more general terms about loving your neighbor as yourself. Same plan, same pattern. And so he continues to remind us that if we are actually going to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees and the experts in the law, then you need to be righteous to enter God's kingdom. And today we want to key off that last phrase in the gospel lesson, where he reminds us of what we just talked about here. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect as others deal with you. Be perfect as you deal with others. And then once again we get to rejoice that Jesus could, and Jesus did, deal perfectly with you. You need to be righteous to enter God's kingdom. That includes how you and I react to how others deal with us. And so Jesus starts out this lesson by saying, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus goes back to Exodus chapter 21. And there God said in verses 22 through 25, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. The book of Exodus reminds you that as the children of Israel are there camped at the foot of Mount Sinai right after leaving slavery in Egypt and getting ready to go into their own land in Canaan, the Lord is now giving them guidance and direction how they are to govern themselves. And there are those who had been given the task, been given the charge, of making sure that justice was met. Perhaps you remember some of the setup as Moses was sort of the main one and then the rest of the Israelites had been divided into thousands and fifties and so forth. There are people who had been charged with making sure that justice was met. And so to those who are told, now you make sure that this punishment needs to fit the crime. What happened? What was done? Make sure the punishment fits. You probably know what the Pharisees did with it, because we're in a section of God's Word that has spawned a couple of little phrases that you and I like to say every now and then. And every time you, even today, probably hear somebody say, well, you know, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, it's turned into meaning, I have the right to take revenge. Rather than letting the proper authorities make sure that the punishment is fitting for whatever the crime was, I decide I'm going to do that on my own. One of my dad's favorite stories is when my brother and I were little, I guess we both came up to him crying one day, and I was crying and I pointed at my brother and I said, "He hit me." And my brother was crying and he pointed at me and said, "He didn't have to hit me back." My brother to this day does admit that wasn't his best legal defense at the moment, but it does prove what you and I think. Right, he hit me, therefore I have the right to hit him back. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you to take away your shirt, give him your coat too. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Yeah, you have heard, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You have been taught that if somebody does something wrong to you, go ahead and get them back. But I tell you, if someone hits you on the cheek, turn the other cheek too. If someone wants to sue you, wants to take your shirt, give them your coat as well. Go the extra mile. In the days of Jesus, a Roman soldier was given the right to tell some citizen to carry his pack for 1 mile. He was allowed to force somebody to do that. Jesus reminded them, willingly go too. Willingly show that kind of love and that concern to someone else. If they need to borrow something from you, go ahead and lend it to them. If they need something from you, feel free to even give it away. All the while you're thinking about your love for your Lord and for your God, all the while you are thinking about how you get to reflect your love for God as you show that love to those who are around you. Now that's not always easy. Martin Luther had some interesting things as he commented on these verses. He says, now Jesus considers the passage which the law of Moses in Exodus 21 addresses to those who are charged with governmental authority and with the sword of punishment. It was a matter of obligation and necessity for them to take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Thus it was as grievous a sin for them if they failed to use the sword of punishment with which they were charged, as it was for the others to seize the sword and avenge themselves without authorization. That's revenge, right? When I take God's place, when I determine that he or his representatives aren't handling things correctly, and I step forward and I say, I'm going to take care of this all by myself, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Later on, he says, do not take it upon yourselves to avenge yourselves on one another, or to speak curses and maledictions. The person that does you harm or injury is interfering with an office that is not his. He is presuming to inflict punishment or injury upon you without the command of God, indeed, contrary to it. Now, if you do the same, then you too are interfering with the office of God and sinning against God as gravely as the man has sinned against you. Therefore, keep your fist to yourself. Leave it in the charge of his wrath and punishing, for he will not let it remain unavenged, and his punishment is more severe than you would like. But it is hard. You need to be perfect to enter God's kingdom. Be perfect then as others deal with you. But it is very, very hard for us not to want to get even. If somebody does something wrong to me, whether it's the little brother who hits you, or maybe it's something that happened at work, or maybe it's some taxes that you don't like, or whatever you want to come up with, it's very hard for us to not say, I have the right to get even. I've got rights. I have rights to do what I want to do. I have rights to have what I want to have. I have rights to be what I want to be. I don't need to take this from anybody. And how quickly the righteousness is set aside. And all of a sudden we catch ourselves being driven by pride, not by love. You need to be perfect to enter God's kingdom. So be perfect then, when others deal with you? What if you're the one that's dealing with somebody else? You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now that makes sense. Now we're finally figuring this out. You have heard that it was said at the time that you love your neighbor. That's something that is very easy for us. It's very easy to love somebody that's lovable. It's easy to love somebody who's obviously loving us back. And then hate your enemy. Perfect sense. Why in the world would you want to love someone who makes it very, very clear that they don't love you? That's what you've heard. And of course, the righteousness of the Pharisees and the experts of the law would have said that that then qualifies the love your neighbor as yourself. Obviously, God wouldn't expect you to love people who are difficult, so therefore, you just love those that you like to love. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. Love your enemies. Even those who don't love you. Even those who prove they don't love you. And as you love your enemies, then also pray for those who persecute you. Because that's what children of the Heavenly Father do. They do that because that's what the Father does. Jesus goes on to describe how our Lord and our God showers His blessings down on everyone. The sunshine that you and I have been enjoying for the last couple of days is shining on everybody, whether they are good or evil. The sun is not dark on those who are actively fighting against God. They're getting the sun too. And if this rain that they're talking about tomorrow shows up, the unbeliever's field is going to be just as wet as the believer's field is going to be. Because God sends His Son and He sends His rain on all, believer and unbeliever alike. And so as children of the Heavenly Father, we want to do like our Father in heaven does. And so Jesus talks about loving those who are even unlovable. Otherwise, you're really not all that different from anybody else, right? Even a tax collector can love somebody who loves him. Even a tax collector can be a friend to somebody who is befriending him. Even an unbeliever is willing to greet someone that they know on the street and say hi to someone that they have a relationship with. And so if you and I are only loving those that we like to love and are greeting only those that we like to get along with, then we are absolutely no different than the rest of the world around us. Be perfect as you deal with others. Because that's what God is looking for. And that's just as hard. It is hard to be perfect when we deal with others, because how easy it is for us to come to the conclusion, he doesn't deserve my prayer. Not after what he did. Not after what he said. Not after how he pulled that stunt at work, or cheated me out of my promotion, or got me in trouble with the neighbor. Whatever it may be. She does not deserve my help. She has proved it time and time again. And once again, it is back to pride that drives our ideas and drives our responses, and it isn't love for those who are around, because finally, without that perfection, when you and I come to the conclusion that he does not deserve my prayer and she does not deserve my help, we finally get to the conclusion that they do not deserve God's help. And isn't that the height of arrogance? When I decide who is worthy of God's love, when I decide who needs to hear what Jesus has done or doesn't deserve to hear what Jesus has done, if you want to enter God's kingdom, you need to be righteous. Be perfect when you deal with others. You're giving me that same look you gave me last week about this time in the sermon. This is tough. Because you and I are constantly reminded through all of this that you and I cannot be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus goes back to that very first lesson. Is in Leviticus before he starts walking through the various commandments, kind of very similar to what Jesus is doing here on the Sermon on the Mount. starts out by saying you need to be holy. This is what your holy God is looking for. This is what He created you to be. He has every right to expect you to be what He made you to be. So love your neighbor as yourself. Put someone else first. Be perfect. The Sermon on the Mount is not a series of steps that you and I can take to get God to like us. Jesus is not sitting on that mountainside and just simply walking through a number of things that you can do in order to show God how much you love Him and show Him that at least on the surface you're doing all right. As He goes through these steps and as He instructs us in how we are to live with those who are around us, He also reminds us that it can't be done. But Jesus could. He is perfect. And if I start repeating myself from last week, you'll appreciate it. He could. No deceit in His mouth. Everything that He did was just in line with what His Heavenly Father was looking for. No one could accuse Him of any kind of wrongdoing. He was perfect. Perfect when others dealt with Him. Perfect as He was dealing with others. He could do that. And He did. You think about how He did pray for His enemies. Sometimes I think you and I maybe think Jesus doesn't really know what He's talking about because He doesn't know the enemies that I have. Oh, He knows what enemies can do. And yet He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He knows what enemies are capable of, and yet He didn't say a thing, but was willingly receiving the slaps, the jeers, the rejection, the death. Jesus could be perfect. And He was perfect for you. Once again, you and I are reminded that Jesus perfectly dealt with you. That is absolutely amazing when you and I remember the fact that we were the enemies. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Did you deserve it? Absolutely not. Did I? No. I was His enemy. Fighting Him every step of the way, telling Him that He was unfair, unreasonable. But even though I was His enemy, even though you were His enemy, He still loved and was still perfect. He didn't get even. He didn't give you what you and me, what you and I deserved. Instead, He saved. Instead, He supplies the righteousness that He is looking for, gives it to you. Instead, He takes your imperfection away. All the times you got mad. All the times you got even. All the times when you determined that somebody didn't deserve your love or even God's love. He paid for every single one. You need to be righteous to enter God's kingdom. And you are. Last Sunday, this Sunday, this section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as it does remind us how far short we come of the perfection God is looking for, also allows us to listen to the one who's doing the teaching. To hear that the one who is encouraging us to love our neighbor as ourselves, we want to, we're shooting for it now, we're actually going to try to hit that target of perfection every single time because the one who's instructing us and the one who's teaching us is also the one who did it in your place. The one who guarantees you that the gates of heaven are wide open. It's a little scary to think about Jesus pulling back the curtain of our heart. Even though we've got things on the outside looking pretty good, where He can now see what's actually going on in here. And while that maybe is a little bit scary, it's also comforting to know that when He pulls back the curtain of that heart, in its place He puts His heart, His love, His perfection, His grace, and pulls out of that heart all of the imperfection and all of the sin and all the rebellion and pays for it in full and says, you're part of My kingdom. You get to enter heaven because you have My righteousness. Amen.